bid you a very warm welcome along to our online services here from Sandown Free Presbyterian Church, and we pray that the Lord would bless you as each one of us gather even for this service. We also welcome as our preacher this morning, Mr. Matthew Higgins. We're delighted Matthew is along with us today to preach the Word of God. The service tonight at 6:30, our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, will be back here in the church to preach. The services for this incoming week, Tuesday at 7 p.m. is our online Explorers Club, so please tune in for that. Then on Thursday evening, again, the Bible study and prayer meeting will be broadcast through all the usual media channels. Next Lord's Day, Sunday the 6th of December, the online morning worship from 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the online gospel service. And the speaker at both of those services will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson. On behalf of our session and committee and congregation, we want to express our Christian sympathies to Miss Yvonne Castles on the death of Yvonne's brother-in-law. Also to Janie and Ken McCune on the death of Janie's uncle. Please remember these dear folk in your prayers, please. Also remember those who are still unwell at this time. Our brother Dines Pritchard is home from hospital after his operation, and pray that Dines will know that full recovery. Also, Miss Mary McLaughlin was taken into hospital on Friday, so please do remember Mary in your prayers, please. We'll hand the service over to our brother Matthew and pray that the Lord would bless him this morning as he ministers the Word of God. The Lord bless you, Matthew, and you're very welcome today.
I'd like to thank our brother, Mr. Roberts, for his kind words of welcome, and also to thank your minister and the session here for the invitation to minister the Word of God to you this morning. We trust that wherever you're gathered that you will know the Lord's presence and his blessing upon you. And we turn to the words of Psalm 105 in the first seven verses. May the Word of God stimulate us this morning to worship him. We read there, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth." Amen. And we trust that we will know the grace and the help of the Lord, even wherever you are this morning, to worship the Lord and to seek his face. We'll have now our first hymn. It is the hymn, "God Made Me For Himself, to Serve Him Here, with Love's Pure Service and in Filial Fear, to Show His Praise, for Him to Labor Now, then See His Glory Where the Angels Bow." It is the hymn 521 in your books. This is a pre-recorded hymn, and the words will be on the screens before you, and I would invite you to join with us even in your homes and sing along in praise to the Lord.
Yeah.
And let's join together in prayer before the throne of God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do humbly bow in thy presence. We rejoice that you are the omnipresent God. Therefore, Lord, we can draw near to you at any time and in any place. And we rejoice that we as thy people have our great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our great High Priest. And we rejoice that it is through him, our Mediator, that we can approach unto thee. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself in your word to be the triune God. And we bless you today, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we rejoice that it is through Christ that we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How we thank you, Lord, today that though we are weak and feeble and frail, yet, O Lord, we are able through the ministry of the Holy Ghost to call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that we, O God, are heard by our Heavenly Father. And we rejoice, O Lord, in all that you have done for us. We know, O God, that you, Heavenly Father, are the one who has purposed and planned to redeem us and loved us from everlasting to everlasting, that you are the one who sent forth your Son to accomplish your great purposes. And the Spirit of God has come forth into this world from the Father and the Son to apply redemption, to draw, Lord, your people to yourself, and to, O God, work in us and comfort us and produce sanctification in us. O Lord, we rejoice today that the triune God is the one at work in our lives. And we confess, O God, that we truly need thee today. O Lord, we bring before you all the needs of our own personal lives, our families, Lord, our churches and our nation. O God, truly there is so much that burdens our hearts today. And Lord, we bring it all to thee. We lay it before you like Hezekiah of old. Lord, we pray that you will look down in compassion and in pity upon us. We ask, O God, for your mercy in these days. We recognize, O Lord, that your hand is at work in this world. And we know, O God, that all things are under your providential care. We know, God, that nothing is happening outside of your perfect will. We pray for grace, O Lord, to submit to your will, Lord, to accept by faith whatever lot you bring into our lives. O God, we thank you that you are the one who has begun a good work in us, and we know that you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We look to you, O God, the faithful God, the one who is faithful that has called us, who also will do it. And we pray for your, Lord, gracious hand to be upon us as thy people. We pray that you will, O God, step in for us. Lord, you know that even this day we cannot meet together for worship. Lord, we are grieved by this. We are saddened by the events that have transpired to prevent us from worshiping in a public fashion. O God, come and deliver us from the curse of this virus and all the, Lord, all the sorrow and all of the trial that has come upon us due to it. Lord, we pray that your cause and your gospel will advance in these days. Lord, grant wisdom, grant strength to, Lord, our own denomination. We pray for our moderator, for our presbytery. We pray, O God, that you will grant discernment and understanding. Lord, we pray for our ministers, O God, that you will fill them with your Spirit this day. We pray that you will empower them to preach your word. Lord, remember thy servant here, the Reverend Wilson. We pray for him as he ministers the word of God this morning, that you will undertake for him and make him a blessing to those that he preaches to. Lord, we do pray for our nation today. We ask, O God, that you will be merciful even despite the sins of this land. O God, we recognize that so much has been done to offend you and, Lord, to bring your judgment upon us. But we pray, O Lord, that you will graciously deliver people from all of their sins. We pray that you will help the church of God to be a light upon a hill. O God, remember your own people today who, O God, are going through difficult and trying times. Remember, Lord, the bereaved and those, O God, who are experiencing great loss. We pray for our homes and our families. Lord, bless our families and our children, O God. Remember our elderly loved ones too. Protect them, O God. We pray that even now, as we are in our homes, O God, that you will draw very near to us. We thank you, Lord, for the family altar. We pray, O God, that in our homes, O God, you will come down, that your presence will be felt, and that families will be blessed around the Word of God. O Lord, we pray that you will restore our worship. O Lord, hear our prayers, we ask. We want to be back, gathered together again, and we pray that you will hear us, O Lord, and restore us back again. Lord, we pray that you will pour out revival blessing upon our churches, O God. We pray for the Word of God to flourish from our pulpits, Lord. We pray for an ingathering of souls. Lord, such darkness, such evil in our land. And Lord, we know that even in these circumstances, people are not calling upon you. Our governments, O God, are not appealing to thee for mercy. But Lord, we pray that you will grant faith and repentance, sovereignly intervene as you did to the Apostle Paul. Lord, step into lives, we pray. We grant, O Lord, that even through us, thy people, as we, O Lord, walk through these circumstances and seek to do all for thee, Lord, help us to be a witness. We pray that our lives will, O God, speak to the ungodly. We pray that the witness of our churches, Lord, will have a mighty effect. Lord, we even pray that this broadcast, Lord, will be, O Lord, beneficial in eternity. We pray that as this goes forth, Lord, it may reach needy and weary souls, and that, Lord, your blessed word will indeed bring comfort, encouragement, will stir us up in our most holy faith. O Lord, will convict us of our sins and draw us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we bring all of these needs. We confess, O God, that we are weak and sinful people. We turn to you, the Lord glorious, the God of great majesty and power. And we ask for thy abundant grace to be given to us. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll now have our second hymn. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. It's the hymn 370 in the hymn books, but again, the words will be on the screen. Please join with me in singing this hymn.
Thank you.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read together in the Word of God from verse 10 down to the end of the chapter, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 10. And the Word of God says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Amen, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. Let's just ask for the Lord's help as we turn to His Word. Our gracious God, how we pray for Your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh even now, and to open our hearts, grant us understanding of Your Word. Lord, we need Thee to speak to us today. We've heard so much of the voices of men through this past week, O God, and we want to hear Your voice this morning. So we pray that You will speak to us, that Your Word, O God, will meet our need. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My text for this morning is found in 2 Timothy 3 and the verse 16, especially what is said towards the end of that text. We read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, it's often said that light shines at its brightest when it is the darkest. And we know that to be true in our lives. And certainly that principle is behind such a statement in the passage that we are now considering together this morning. For the Apostle Paul's consideration of the Scriptures and what they are comes in the wake of his description of the evil conditions in the world. And so in this passage that we've read together, there is a great contrast, really, because the Apostle speaks in verse 13. He says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, these are the conditions in which the world is found this morning. And the Apostle speaks of evil men increasing in number, and of seducers growing and advancing to higher degrees of error and deception. He uses the words wax, worse, and worse. That is, they are growing, they are increasing in number. The word seducers has in view a juggler. That is, somebody who tosses ideas, who juggles ideas. Someone who we could describe as a trickster. Somebody who is a swindler or a cheat who peddles different ideas that are designed to deceive and to lead astray. Such a person, therefore, is an imposter whenever they claim to know the truth and are yet presenting false ideas. If you turn with me to Ephesians 4 and the verse 14, here we read of a similar kind of thing. We read Ephesians 4 and the verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You notice that word sleight, it's the same word, trickery, tricking. And the whole purpose of it is to deceive, to lead astray. And so there are people out in the world this day who are seeking to do that to you and to me. And in fact, as we think of these people who toss or juggle all these various ideas, it brings to our mind what we are told of the ancient Athenians. Remember when Paul was in Athens, we read that there were many in that city who spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And so these were people that were interested in new ideas. But they were imposters in that they claimed to know the truth. They claimed to be people who had received the truth and were now teaching it. And yet the fact was that they didn't know the truth at all. They were, in fact, people who were themselves deceived. And as such, then, they do not have the right to claim to be the possessors of truth. We read that they were deceiving and being deceived. And that's what's so shocking about the world in which we live. Not only are there people who themselves are deceived, but those very people are deceiving others, leading others astray. They go about with their different ideas and they influence people and they lead people into error and to destruction. And Christ himself spoke of such people in Matthew 15 and the verse 14. And there, as he speaks of the Pharisees, he describes them as being the blind leaders of the blind. And what a stark illustration that is of these people. They are themselves blind, and yet there they are taking the lead. They are, in fact, teaching and instructing those who are blind while claiming to see, and the fact is that they themselves are blind as well. Oh, how many souls have been ruined by following such blind leaders. How many have been led into destruction by those who have claimed to know the truth and yet never knew it themselves. And ultimately we recognize that behind all of these activities, behind these men, is the devil himself, who we are told in the Word of God deceiveth the whole world. He is the great deceiver, the father of lies. We are told in John 10 and the verse 10 that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as we look into the world this morning and we think of all of the evil men, of the seducers waxing worse and worse, we see behind it all the hand of the devil. Now as we think, therefore, of the condition in which the world is, surely that highlights to us as God's people even more the only reliable and true source for the believer. Here Paul speaks of these terrible conditions, but he moves on in verse 14 and he says, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned." And he goes on to point out to Timothy that he was an individual who had been brought up in the Word of God. He had been taught the Holy Scriptures, those Scriptures which are inspired and instructing in nature. And so I want you to grasp this morning. The scriptures will keep the Christian from being deceived. That's the point. As we think of these evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, we think, how are we not going to be swept up? What is going to keep you, dear child of God, from being caught up in some false idea or being seduced away? And the apostles' teaching is, it is the Holy Scriptures that is able to keep you from falsehood. Well, this is so essential for us today. If you want to be kept from deception, then you need to be a person who knows the Word and is in the Word. And this is exactly why Paul tells Timothy to continue. Paul had been brought up in the Word, but Paul says, I want you to pursue the Word. I want you to continue after the Word. This is not something that you did in the past. Go on with it. Keep searching, keep learning, keep being instructed. Because it is an evil world. You see, dear people, it is only this divinely inspired Word that presents truth. It is only in this divinely inspired Word that the way of salvation is revealed. It is only through this divinely inspired Word that falsehood is shown in all of its darkness. Well, I wonder whether or not today you are convinced of this. Are you somebody who is absolutely convinced that the Word of God is truth? That the Word of God presents a way of salvation. That it is this Word that will keep you, that will instruct you, and that will be your guide and your rule. David certainly did. He said in Psalm 119, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And certainly David, as he considered the Word of God, he esteemed it so highly. He knew it was right. He knew it was truth. And in the light of that truth, he then turned and he was able to recognize all the false ways, and he hated them. All that God would grant you that conviction today, that as you read the Word of God, and you study it and you hear it preached, that you would have a very, very strong conviction. This is God's Word. This Word is for my good. It is a holy Word. It is a productive Word. It is an instructing Word that will keep me, that will teach me in the path of righteousness and in the gospel. And so I want to consider with you this morning the witness that Scripture is instructive. Because we read in 2 Timothy 3 in the verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The witness that Scripture is instructive. You'll notice that the apostle says that the Word of God is profitable. Profitable. This is a very wonderful word. It refers to something that's useful, something that's beneficial. And therefore, we realize here that the Word of God has a vital and an indispensable part to play in our lives. And I want you to understand this. Dear Christian, today, I want you to realize this, that Scripture is profitable for you. It is beneficial to you. It is useful to you. It is something that you need. Yet often it is the case that our attitude suggests otherwise. Our neglect of the Word of God often shows that we do not really see that this Word is profitable to us. Given that it is God's Word, it is the means by which God speaks into our lives to teach us. Or do we not want to hear what God has to say to us today? Then we must go to His Word. It is profitable because it does instruct us. And what is so special about this book is that it is instruction that has come from God Himself. You see, that is precisely what the word doctrine means. You see, Paul says that the word of God is profitable for doctrine. And that simply means teaching, instruction. It is the way in which we learn. It has to do with the revelation of truths regarding God and man, salvation and Christ, and all of the great truths that are presented in the Word of God. And so the Word of God then is designed by God to teach us. It is something that we are to learn by. In fact, we read of that in Romans 15 and the verse 4, where Paul says that the Scriptures were written before for our learning. Our learning. And so you and I then need to have the teachable spirit when we come to the Word of God. I wonder, do you come to the Word of God and say, Lord, I want to be taught, I want to learn, I want to apply this truth to myself, I want it to become a part of me? And turn with me to 1 Timothy 4 and the verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 and the verse 6. And the apostle says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now obviously this verse is referring to a gospel preacher, and the task of him is that he nourish and teach the word of God. But what I want you to see is that as a good minister of Jesus Christ teaches the Word of God, he will nourish God's people. And that word nourish means to educate the mind. To educate the mind. And the doctrine that is to be taught is described as good doctrine. That is healthy doctrine, sound doctrine. It is doctrine that will produce a soundness in you, a healthiness of spiritual life. Or do we not see here then that the Word of God is something that will strengthen us and help us in our lives, to educate us, to teach us? You see, what this means then for you today is that without doctrine then, the Christian would remain ignorant of God and himself. Or do not have a negative view towards doctrine, because if you don't know doctrine, then you're ignorant of God. And knowledge of God is the fountainhead of all knowledge. You see, it is from the knowledge of God that all truth comes. See, doctrine then is the communication of truths which guide the mind and instruct the heart. And when the heart is instructed and the mind taught, it will have an impact upon our hands. It will affect our life. And an educated mind, an instructed heart will produce a love. It will produce a life that is dedicated to God. You see, God's Word is profitable to do all of this for you in your life. And it's intended by the Lord to teach us in a number of ways. You might ask, how does the Word of God teach me? And Paul shows that here in these words. He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I want you to notice firstly that Scripture is instructive because it reproves us. It reproves us. You see, the word reproof means something by which a thing is proved or tested. And it's interesting that this word reproof is translated in Hebrews 11 and the verse 1 as evidence. Evidence. And so think of it that way. Reproof. It's a word that signifies the refutation of false statements or arguments. In a way, we could describe it as a measuring stick, a rule, something that we test everything upon, that we shed the light of the word upon everything. It is by this word that we prove whether or not something is true or false. You see, God's word provides evidence to expose any erroneous idea, and it convicts those who bring it. And so here is this instruction. It reproves us. In other words, we could say that Scripture is the touchstone by which anything is tested or proven to be true or false. I wonder, boys and girls, have you ever seen a building being built? And the builder will always have a plumb line stretched out from the corner point of where he's building his building. And he always has that line there. And as he's placing brick upon brick, he has that plumb line there to keep him true, to make sure that the wall is straight. And in a way, that is like what the Word of God is. It is our plumb line, our touchstone. It is there as a guide to show to us if we're in error or if we're on the right way. Now, our Lord Himself demonstrated this in His own ministry. If you turn with me to Matthew 22 and the verse 29. Matthew 22 and the verse 29. And here the Lord is dealing with the Sadducees, those who denied the resurrection. They come to Him with a question regarding the resurrection. And I want you to observe how our Lord deals with their question. Matthew 22 and the verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." And so there is our example. Christ brought them to the Scriptures. And you will see that the reason why the Sadducees were in error was because they didn't know the Scriptures. And our Lord corrects these people by turning them to the Scriptures in verse 32. And so our Lord then was one, even in His earthly life, who used the Word of God in this way. You think of our Lord as He dealt with the temptations of Satan. He did so by exposing the devil to the light of the Word of God. It is written, our Lord said. Therefore, Scripture reveals the errors in the thinking of the world. It tells us what will happen whenever we turn away from God and go to our own way. And let me encourage you with this thought today, because with the condition of our society today, it is such an encouragement in this sense that it proves, it displays to us, it demonstrates the truth of God's Word. You see, the Word of God tells us of the sad consequences of rebelling against God. And do we not see that so clearly in our world today? See, as you think about all that's happening in the world this morning, it is but confirming to you the truthfulness of God's Word, because the world is in the condition it's in because it has turned against God. Our land is in the condition it's in because it has rebelled against God. And so understand then that God's Word, in a sense, has been proved day after day after day in the ungodliness of this world. And that should encourage you, dear child of God, because we know that these things happen. We know what happens when you rebel against God. And therefore, let us turn to this Word afresh with greater confidence. Let me speak
on a more personal note, because the Word of God shows us how and when we have gone wrong personally. Oh yes, it speaks on a national, on a social level, on a family level, but it shows us where we've gone wrong personally. Or the Word of God, it points out our own faults, especially the faults of the heart. If you turn with me to Psalm 19 and the verses 10 to 12, and here you will notice how the Word of God reproves us. Psalm 19 and the verse 10. Psalm 19 and the verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Or do we see here that David, as he speaks of the Word of God being finer than gold and sweeter than honeycomb, he says that it is by the Word that we're warned. And in following the teaching of Scripture, we are following the paths of the Lord, and that is the path of blessing. And he says, who can understand his errors? Think of that. We don't even know the darkness of our own hearts, the corruptness of our own hearts. We can be so deceitful ourselves. And David thinks of that. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Well, you see, the Word of God is what can shine the light on those sins that are in our own lives that we're not even aware of, and expose them to us, and show us those secret faults. I wonder whether or not your life is showing the evidence of the Scriptures reproving. And it will show that evidence if you are conscious through the Word of God of your sin. As you turn to the Word of God and you think about your life and you realize that there are things in maybe your thinking or your lifestyle that God's Word is pointing out, and you feel the reproving of the Word, you feel the correcting of the Word, and you realize that Scripture is instructing you, it is teaching you in this way. But then secondly, Scripture is instructive because it corrects us. It corrects us. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The word correction means restoration to an upright state, an improvement in life or character. And there is a link between these two. Correction follows reproof. You see, reproof is showing us where we've gone wrong. But correction shows us how to get back to the right way that is righteous. And so the Word of God then not only points out our faults in our lives, but it also instructs us how to put them right. Isn't this wonderful? There's no point being told, if you're wrong, that yes, you're wrong on this issue, and that's all that is said. No, you need to be shown how to do things right. And how wonderful, therefore, that the Word of God does both. It tells us where we've gone wrong, but it tells us how to correct it. And so the ministry of the Scriptures then has this double aspect. It doesn't merely pull down, but it also builds up. We think of how the Word of God is described as the two-edged sword. And that sword, yes, with the one blade, it cuts you down. It convicts you. It reduces you. It humbles you. Oh yes, but with the other blade, it builds you up. It strengthens you. It founds you upon solid ground. Oh yes, maybe you have felt the reproving of the Word of God and you are discouraged. But do not be discouraged, because this same book will correct you. And both are perfectly done, so that the sincere student of the word will be made conscious of his sin and will be purified. And turn with me to Psalm 119 and the verses 2 and 3. Psalm 119. Again, David, he so often spoke of the work of the Word of God in his life, and here he does again in this great psalm. Psalm 119 in the verse 2, he says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And so there we see that the Word of God corrects us. They also do no iniquity. Of course, the Christian can never be sinless. But we are sanctified by the Word. And as the Word of God exposes our sins, we are reproved, we are corrected, and when we can walk in the ways of the Lord. And so we should pray then, as David prayed in this very same psalm, "Order my steps in thy word." And the word "order" there means to correct. Correct my steps. Order my steps. Give me that correctness as I step forward into my life. Help me to walk in the ways that are pleasing to you, Lord. And you see, the wonderful thing is that we will be corrected by the word of God. How important it is, therefore, for you and I to be obedient to the Word. Because the correction of the Scriptures will be of no benefit if you do not listen to it. So yes, we need to be a people who are sensitive to the Word of God, who are open to be corrected, and realize that God corrects us for our good. Do not let your pride get in the way of God's correction. Do not react to it in an arrogant way. No, be humble before God. Realize that He is instructing you. He is correcting you in order that you might be a fruitful Christian. But then thirdly, the Scripture is instructive because it leads us to righteousness. It leads us to righteousness. Because Paul says that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Or instruction towards righteousness. Instruction that will produce righteousness. And so let us think about that for a moment. Because what kind of effect does the Word have in your life? It will nurture you. And it will train you up to live a life of righteousness. That's what it will do. And as the Word reproves and corrects and instructs, it produces something beautiful. It produces something that God is pleased with. You see, here in the Word of God is the rule and the standard of a good and a holy life that honors God. And surely you and I as God's people want to live such a life. We think of what we're told in Hebrews 5 and the verse 13. There the Scriptures are called the Word of Righteousness. And what a description of the Word of God. The Word of Righteousness. It teaches righteousness. It produces righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful word this is. And therefore, I want you to see that there is a consequential link between the teaching of this book and a life of godliness. You see, the Scriptures give to those who are molded by its truth a distinct character. It produces something that the natural man can never achieve. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy 6 and the verse 3, I want you to notice the way that doctrine is described here. 1 Timothy 6 and the verse 3, Paul says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Well, they are important words. The doctrine which is according to godliness. So I want you to understand today that the doctrine of the Word of God produces something particular. It produces something unique. It produces godliness, Christ-likeness. Here is a teaching. Here are words that lead us to a life of godliness. And you see, that is something that is unique to the Word of God. Oh, this is how we tell whether or not doctrine is true or false. Look at the effect that it has. Well, let me ask you today, what effect is the things that you believe in having on your life? And we see that in the society in which we live. People don't believe in the Word of God. They deny God. They don't want to follow God's Word and God's law. And so they live a life in according to that belief. But what about the child of God? Our doctrine is doctrine according to godliness. It is the word of righteousness. It is instruction in righteousness. And you see, that's what God's truth will do. It will lead us into God's way. It will produce a distinct character. It will produce a life that is appropriate to these truths. We think of what Paul exhorted the believers to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And that word adorn obviously refers to clothing. And boys and girls, you think of that even in our world today. You can tell what people are and what kind of work they do by their clothing. Think of a judge or a minister, they wear a particular type of clothing. And when you see that person, they're wearing those clothes, you go, yes, that's that kind of a person. And we're told here that we're to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In other words, as the doctrine of the Word of God has an impact upon our lives, we will be adorning a life of godliness. And it will be displayed. Now, as we think in conclusion of these features of the Word of God, its reproof, its correction, and its instruction in righteousness, these features are all displayed in the ministry of the living Word, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn with me for a moment to Luke 24 and the verses 25 and 27. And here we see these features on display. And I want you to notice how the Lord deals with these believers. And this is how the Scriptures reproving, correction, and instruction in righteousness will benefit you. Luke 24 and the verse 25. Here the Lord is with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Notice that the Lord says, verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now there is reproof. He's reproving them. You're slow of heart. You haven't realized these things. Your understanding is not what it should be. The prophets have spoken clearly about myself, and yet you're ignorant. Reproof. Then he says in verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And here we notice correction. Here's correction. The Lord is correcting their view. He's saying, don't think that my death upon the cross was not meant to happen or was wrong. No, no, no. This was meant to happen. The prophets spoke of it. This was what was determined. Christ was to suffer and to enter into his glory. Your thinking needs to be corrected. And so here the Lord is correcting them. And then in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And there is instruction in righteousness. Now he's teaching them. He's expounding the word of God to them. But what is so wonderful about this is look at the effect that this had upon those disciples. They were discouraged. They were downcast. They were fearful. They just felt completely deflated. And the Lord drew near to them and he exercised this ministry of reproof and correction and instruction. And look at the effect that it had upon them. These dismayed disciples, suddenly their eyes were opened. They saw the Lord. Their hearts burned within them. They were filled with joy. And you see, that is exactly the same thing that will happen to us whenever we come to the Word of God and we're reproved and we're corrected and we will be instructed. It will fill us with joy. It will give us strength of faith. We will see the Lord in all of His glory. Surely all of these points illustrate the fact that the Word of God is applicable to every area of our lives. It gives guidance and principles by which we are to operate. You see, the sufficiency of Scripture tells us that there is absolutely nothing which the Scriptures can't instruct us about. At the very least, there are principles that we can apply to our lives. I wonder today, are you putting that principle into practice? Are you somebody that sees the Word as applicable to your life? And not just some areas, but all areas. Are you seeking the wisdom of God, even for the small things? Are you seeking to be instructed in every aspect of your life, to be a person who is influenced by the Word? Think of what David said in Psalm 119 and the verse 130. The entrance of thy Word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Or are you bringing your life to the complete body of Scripture to see if you're walking in the paths of righteousness for Christ's glory? Are you using the Word of God as a touchstone in your life? Are you seeking its instruction? And are you following its instruction? And I trust that today we will all be encouraged to earnestly turn to the Word of God and to seek out its message and to be obedient to its instruction. Oh yes, we are living in a dark and deceitful world, a world that is designed and is set on a course to lead you and me away from the Lord and to destroy our faith. Here is the Word that will keep us and will mold us and sanctify us and prepare us for glory. Therefore, let us take these words of the apostle on our hearts. This word is instructive. And I trust that the Word of God will instruct you and teach you and make you more like our blessed Savior. Amen. Let's close this broadcast in prayer. Our gracious Lord, how we rejoice in what we have observed about your word. Oh Lord, we confess that Given the world in which we live, we are often, O God, fearful, and we are faced with so many different ideas and thoughts, O God, and we wonder how we are going to keep, O Lord, in the right path, but we rejoice today in your blessed word. We thank you, Lord, for all that it does for us. Lord, we pray that you will, by the help of the Holy Spirit, apply your word to our hearts now. Instruct us, teach us, help us to receive the word of God by faith and with understanding. And we ask, O God, that even this day, Lord, in our own homes, that, Lord, you will teach us and that we will feel the profit and the benefit of the word of God for our own lives. Oh Lord, we ask for that ministry of Christ, the reproving, the correcting, and the instructing in righteousness. Lord, bless us, we pray, and we ask for thy grace to be abundant and manifest toward us. Lord, be with us throughout the rest of this day, we ask. Minister to us, bless us in our homes. We pray, O God, that we will enjoy sweet fellowship together. And we pray that, Lord, you will be given the glory through us, O Lord, as we are conformed by your word to your Son. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name.